What's going on, everybody? We're back with the 9th episode of the Sports Hour Pod. We're coming up on the 10th episode. And we can go ahead and tell you right now, next week, bracket episode for the NCAA tournament perfectly falls on our 10th anniversary episode. Excited for that one. But right now, we've got a lot to talk about with college baseball, high school basketball, and other things. Peyton, alongside Buzz, Garrett, Grady, Chuck, and Toby, we got the whole squad back tonight. Guys, how are you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be back.
Good. Glad to be back.
The quiet boys are back. Glad to have them back.
We've got the two-word talkers back.
That's right.
Glad to have them back. Missed them. We're doing good this week. Ready for this next week coming up. Got some big-time games on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Squad up. We back.
We've been talking about high school basketball the past couple weeks, and tonight that's where we'll start in this episode. You know, now the high school basketball season has officially – slipped by us, and it has ended. And you know, it's sad that we didn't. I kind of look back on our past few episodes, and how much I love what we've talked about, I kind of wish we'd been talking high school basketball earlier. It's been fun, it's been great. But now all we have is a list of state champions, and we're about done with the high school basketball season.
I was gonna go ahead and do my boys and girls players of the week, and also I guess players of the year in a way.
Yeah. Do you want me to read off these, and then we can kind of we can kind of talk about our thoughts on any of these, and then we'll jump into that because I've got some comments as well. For the we'll start with the women. 1A Biggersville was the state champion there. 2A Lake, 3A Boonville, 4A Choctaw Central, 5A Neshoba Central, and 6A Meridian. As for the guys, 1A Biggersville, 2A Pine Grove, 3A Boonville, 4A Raymond, 5A Holmes County Central, and 6A Clinton. So any of those really stick out to you guys? I mean,
the one that stuck out to me the most, and we've talked about this team before in the past in the pod as well, but the Belmont in 2A was a huge shock.
That was the upset of the tournament was Belmont getting defeated by Lake. I thought they were a shoo-in to win 2A again, and you know, that was a shock, but Lake came out, played a really good ball game from what I saw. You know, I was down there for the semifinals. I saw Biggersville defeat Lumberton, and I saw West Union lose to McEvans, the eventual runner-up. And, you know, those were two great games, and it followed a great slate of championship games. But, yeah, that was a really big surprise for me. But, you know, late, you always have one team that pulls out the huge upset down in Jackson, and, you know, it was it was Lake doing that.
Lily Whitley going out for Newside, the one that scored 50 points that we talked about earlier in the playoffs. With her going out and Newside only getting beat by like 7 or 8, maybe 10 points in the game, I was like, well, Belmont will beat them handily, because I thought Newside, Belmont will be – that the Coliseum will be close to filled up as it possibly could. Mm-hmm. Newside and Belmont being in the state championship. And that didn't happen. I was like, well, Belmont will beat Lee 10 to 15 points, and they win it going away. But that's not what happened. And I don't know the full details of what happened in that game, but it was a full surprise to
me. How upset do y'all think the MHSAA gets when Hill Country basketball gets eliminated from the state championship?
Sure, two blue bloods of this area. New Site and Belmont.
Hill Country basketball.
Where's that located at?
Where we are right now.
You're not really a huge basketball follower, especially in high school. The area which we live in is referred to as Hill Country basketball, and it is – known for prestige, to say it lightly.
What, like the five county area?
Yeah, that would be a great way to describe it.
County, Auburn County, Tishomingo County.
Basically, Northeast Mississippi. Yeah. That's Tampa a great county, way to Tampa put
county,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Northeast Mississippi is a great way to put it. But regardless, you go down there and I see Biggersville and West Union, you know, for 1A, fill up one side of the lower bowl of the big house by themselves. And then I see McEvans and Lumberton, teams that are in the South, closer to Jackson. No offense to those squads, but, I mean, they're bringing a section or two. And you think about just how basketball crazy this area is. It's always – that's one of my favorite parts every year is seeing the representation when you go down there for basketball of these local teams.
There's T-shirts, there's pom-poms, there's parents, there's grandparents, there's aunts, cousins, people that you hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years. They show up with a T-shirt. I'm like, where'd you come from? I'm third, fourth cousins to his brother, so I'm coming to the game. These people here love basketball.
No doubt about it.
Other than winning the lottery, these people come out of the holes in the ground to watch these ball games in Jackson.
It's something special because we grew up doing this, me, you, Buzz,
Peyton.
Yeah. Toby and Chuck, I don't know if Chuck can play basketball, but They didn't ever experience that. It's something. Yeah. It's different when you get to the big house and see all them people cheering on you.
So now let's move, and Grady's been our player of the week type reporter, if you will, for this podcast. And like I said, player of the week and player of the year. And I've been doing teams handling that, and I've got some thoughts as well. But why don't you start us off with players?
I want to start with the girls first, and I really haven't mentioned her yet. And it's really not a local player, but it's Carly Keats from Neshoba Central. They finished the year 32-0, not one blemish on the schedule. And she's a Danny Does, and of course, she's a player for that team. She led them to the state championship, MVP of the league, and or MVP of the game. And, I mean, that's just very impressive to see something like that happen, especially in high school basketball where a slip-up can be very common. And also for the boys, I want to go – it could be either one of these brothers, but James and Josh Duke, but I'll go with Josh Dukes for being the player of the game. Of course, he had 12 points in the game, but – a kid like him and led them throughout the year. He was disciplined. He showed them the way that they needed to go. And, with a coach like Michael Smith, they were headed in the right direction, and he led them to a state championship. So that's my players of the week, Carly Keats and Josh Dukes. Of course, my player of the year would probably have to be Carson Rowland.
That's a shoe-in pick. Going off that team – team, I'm going to separate this a little bit.
I got the girls.
Go ahead.
Lily Whitley would be my girls player of the year. Yeah. She was hurt against Lake in the semifinals, and of course, she had that 50-point game. We saw her play Nettleton earlier in the year. She had like a 40-point game against Nettleton as well. I mean, she's a just a scorer.
You don't see a girl scoring 40 points in high school.
Yeah, so she would be my.
It's like we talk about on this podcast a lot. You know, it is that excellence that Lily Whitley had all year, and. You know, injuries fall at the right time, at the wrong time, rather. Uh-huh. But also, like we talked about, it's just hard to win at this level in the playoffs. It don't matter if you're the best team running away. It's hard to win at this level in the playoffs.
It's hard to win at Jackson. I mean,
no doubt. For me, teams of the state championship round. For the women, I was gonna say Neshoba Central. You kind of stole my girls and guys teams of the week. Okay. Neshoba Central, you know, perfect blemish. That's what I've really got to give it to there. I mean, I have obviously not seen Neshoba Central this year, but if a team goes 32-0, that's an unbelievable accomplishment to go throughout your entire year and to be the best every single time you step on the court. Literally and figuratively. For the guys, Pine Grove, that team hadn't been to Jackson in 40 years. And when they go back, Carson Rowland just goes, he goes Super Saiyan, becomes unbelievable throughout the playoffs. And I don't want to say his name wrong, but Jameis Cox. He was fantastic. A lot of people didn't talk about him because of how Carson was. But Jameis was fantastic for Pine Grove down the stretch.
He's the – I mean, this is sort of a weird analogy, but he's the Draymond Green to that team.
Yeah.
He's just the motor that keeps them going. I mean, if they didn't have him, I don't think they would be in the scenario that they were in. Belton Jackson's size bothered them the first part of the game. And Jameis, the second half, I believe he had a double-double.
Yeah.
I mean, he helped them.
No, for sure. Those are my teams of the week. My teams of the year, it goes to – Boonville and Biggersville on the girls and guys side. We talked about it before this. Yeah. If y'all didn't know, Boonville and Biggersville both won guys and girls state this year at 1 and 3A, respectively. Until this year, a coach and a school have never had a guys and a girls team win the state championship in basketball in the same year. And it happened twice in the same year. History set twice.
And the same coach.
So that's the thing. The same coach has never won a girls and guys championship in the same year. So shout out to Coach Cliff Little and shout out to Coach Michael Smith. Those are two guys that are highly regarded as top coaches in the area. And, I mean, that's an unbelievable achievement. I was telling somebody when Cliff did it on Thursday, obviously I didn't know Michael had done it on Saturday yet. But when Cliff did on Thursday, I said, well, and he just got entered into the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame because that's an achievement that's never happened before. He probably etched his place in Jackson at the Hall of Fame at some point, and Michael Smith probably did too. So congrats to those coaches, and more importantly, congrats to those teams as well, those guys and girls that worked hard all year to, coach put them in the right position. They executed the right time, and those schools pull off history.
I also want to give a shout out to the, this is sort of a country inside of a country, I mean, in a way, The Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians, they had two schools that won state championships. Choctaw Central and Neshoba Central both won state championships. And the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians chief, Cyrus Ben, talked about the people. And he said, here in our reservation, we have over 130 teams that play basketball starting at 6 to 7 years old. He says, we do not recruit here. We raise kids to play basketball.
That's awesome.
They're known to do there. And they play basketball, and they play hard, and they win state championships.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was at the state championships. I watched Boonville boys and girls win. And y'all were talking about the communities earlier. Boonville might have the biggest fan support I've ever seen. They filled up an entire side of the Mississippi Coliseum. And another thing about Boonville, boys and girls, they don't lose a lot. So expect to see the Blue Devils back in Jackson this year.
I think there's a very good
chance. I think the crazy thing, too, is the reigning – softball and baseball state champions are also from Boonville. The reigning marching band state champions are from Boonville. The reigning boys and girls basketball teams are from Boonville. And they the
even Twitter their page, dance teams are
yeah, the reigning the I think it was the principal from Boonville today tweeted over 50% of the student body probably has a state championship ring.
I saw I saw a tweet, and I don't know how true this is, but that Biggersville girls were bringing back everybody from the state championship team. Biggersville boys bring back 6 of their top 9. Pine Grove boys bring back 6 of their top 7, Carson being the one. Carson is a senior,
he
correct?
Is a senior, yeah,
yeah, so he is the one that leaves. And then Boonville girls and guys, like you said, Buzz, bring back a ton.
Yeah.
So, those are a lot of teams that you can watch for sure as teams that can run it right back. It's so hard to go back-to-back, but teams do it. And, I mean –
I don't see – Pine Grove going
back. It's going to be
tough.
That's
a big loss. That's a big loss.
Yeah, when you say top 6
points a night, that's
– Yeah, when you say top 6 or 7 and, you know, people might not know that's Carson that you're losing, I mean, that's a loss more than just one guy, it really does feel like. But
that
regardless –
You never know. You
that
never
can
know.
Be a testament for the rest of the team moving forward.
See if they can do it on their own. Yeah.
So now that we have read through – me and Grady have had our segment – but I did want to enter this as well. With the win, Pine Grove entered into Raymond won as well.
Yeah.
So Pine Grove and Raymond both entered into the double-digit school state title club. Mm-hmm. That being Harrison Central, Murrah, Ingomar, Belmont, Wheeler, Lanier, Pine Grove, and Raymond.
Thank my alma mater, Wheeler.
There you go. But
Sam Ritchie, shout out. state championships back in the
70s. But yeah, as crazy as it sounds, that's going to do it for high school basketball for us. Want to stick quickly on basketball. This is something we hadn't talked about coming in, so I'm sorry I'm springing that on y'all. But maybe it's because I wanted to block it out because I'm not feeling good about it. SEC tournament is this week. And Garrett, I'm going to ask you to abstain from this. Go ahead.
I was going to say something before we jumped into that. I was going to talk about my big house poll last week, too. We did that before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Over 80% of the voters, there's over 120 voters, voted pro Big House, and 20% were nay against Big House, and over half of the nay voters were media members. So I'm just going
to
throw that
to the 20% and my fellow media members that we talk about that, and that's why I like, and if some of you don't know, I do write some for like the Daily Journal. You always get stuff along that lines, but I mean, I've heard a lot of these media members, and if you are a media member, when you're at the Pavilion, it's eons nicer than it is at the Big House. But I respect the fans' opinion. That's what they have.
I was going to relay that to our listeners because I did a poll through my Instagram account. So I just wanted to see how people would.
Yeah, no, and it was really interesting to see because it was more pro Big House than I thought it was going to be.
Personally, I agree with that. I didn't think it would be that.
I thought that it would be pro Big House, but I thought it would be like 70-30, 60-40.
Yeah.
But either way, the SEC tournament is coming up this week in basketball, the women's tournament. Happened last week. South Carolina won it. Correct?
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
They got beat off by Kentucky.
They got beat by Kentucky. Wow. Yeah. I completely forgot about that. Ole Miss put up a great fight against
South
Carolina.
They got beat by South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. They put up a great fight in the semifinals.
Coach O's going to take that at women's team. They're going to do something special.
No doubt about it.
They're going
far. I'm feeling Sweet 16. I really
think so.
But – the men's tournament is coming up. The women will have to wait a week before they find out where they're going. But as for now, we have SEC men's basketball tournament coming up in Tampa. Garrett will be traveling there tomorrow. The Rebels play on Wednesday against Missouri in the 12-13 game. If they win, who would they play? Do you know off the top of your head, Garrett?
If we win, we play LSU.
LSU, gotcha. So the Rebels have beaten them this year.
We play at 6 tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, but Wednesday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is basketball for the men's is it single elimination or double elimination?
Single.
Okay. Single.
Single the entire way. And it's crazy to think about that the Rebels have beaten LSU this year on the road, but have yet to beat Missouri. And so you look at it and you hope it's the can't beat a team three times in the same
year. Missouri is just a sleeper team. They're really good.
They are. They're really a lot more talented than their 12 seed would tell you.
Yeah, they just have a bad, like, they're a hard conference to play.
No, it is. This season's a lot deeper this year, no doubt about it. But Garrett, I was going to ask you to abstain from this. I want quickly, just so we can move on to our next topics. Pick your winner, SEC tournament.
I'm going to Arkansas. Arkansas is really hot right now, and I can see them making a deep run in the NCAA tournament as well.
I'll go with the safe pick. I'm going Kentucky. They're playing really good ball right now, so I'm going to go Kentucky.
Auburn.
Auburn is the Utah Jazz of basketball.
Who do you got then?
Arkansas.
Arkansas,
yeah.
That's a good pick.
Arkansas, I can see Arkansas going probably all the way to like Elite Eight.
Okay, so here's the thing. Go ahead.
I take Ole Miss winning.
That's what we need to hear, Garrett. That's what we need to hear. You know what? I am going to say this, a bold prediction. I am going to say that Ole Miss wins their first two rounds. I do think this Rebels team is going to find a resurgence. I'm going hot take there. I'm supporting my Rebs, but the Rebs are, I sadly think, will not have enough of the tank. Losing Robert Allen and Deshaun Ruffin.
That argument may be more valid than what you think if we can beat Missouri and carry that momentum into that next game. I think that could be more valid.
Because if we beat Missouri, play LSU,
You'd play a top four seed.
No, I think it's Arkansas.
Yeah, it'd be somebody, one of those top four seeds of Auburn, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. I'd been talking to Arkansas a big the last week, and because they played really well this year, and then I realized Arkansas, most of their key wins have come at home in Bud Walton. So I'm not sure how I like that Arkansas team on the road when they go and play in a tough environment against Tennessee on Saturday. They get
let's say y'all sleeping on Tennessee.
They got slapped in the beginning. Arkansas did make a comeback, make it close, but they were getting beat pretty handily through about 30 minutes of that game. Shush it. I'm making my pick. Then you can say whatever you want. I'm rolling with Garrett. Like I said, they're sleeping on the Vols. Give me Tennessee and Rick Barnes. They're winning it.
Y'all also sleeping on Florida.
Florida is very good, yes. But I'm going to take the Vols to win it.
I got a Florida pillowcase.
Sorry.
My bad, Peyton. I was just going to say that people have forgotten about Tennessee.
And I wanted my point to be made before you. You already picked Arkansas, okay? So, no, don't come in here and steal that. To quote the great Lee Corso, not so fast.
He's not taking your crap this week.
I'm not taking it crap this week. But either way, so that's our picks for the SEC tournament. Like I said, next week the episode will be nothing else but us going through our brackets, which we are going to put together. That episode's going to come out on Wednesday. I believe we'll probably record that Tuesday night because the first four will be done on Tuesday, I think. Thursday is when the regular play starts. So we'll have to record that right after the game is done. And post that one on Wednesday the day before. So be looking out next Wednesday for that episode. That's the episode I've been most excited for pretty much ever since we started this podcast. But off of college basketball now, let's move into college baseball. Big weekend for our Rebels and pretty much cross country. A lot of teams finally moved. There were some teams that obviously played good early season matchups, but we saw a lot of teams move out of the early season non-conference games that are seen as tune-ups and moved into some tough games, and we saw a lot of upsets. So we sent our picks in to Chuck, who was so gracious to put them all together, and we will be releasing them in a tweet, which was yesterday on Tuesday, the first inaugural Sports Hour podcast top 25. We're going to do this hopefully throughout the rest of baseball season, moving into football season next year, maybe as well basketball. But here it is. UCF is out receiving one vote. Don't know who that was, obviously. That was Toby, if you're wondering. Miami at 25, Mississippi State at 24, Tulane at 23, NC State at 22, Maryland at 21, North Carolina at 20, TCU at 19, Georgia at 18, Clemson at 17, Liberty at 16, Arizona at 15, Texas Tech at 14, Florida State at 13, Georgia Tech at 12, Notre Dame at 11, Oklahoma State at 10, Florida at 9, Stanford at 8, Arkansas at 7, LSU at 6, Tennessee at 5, Oregon State at 4, Vanderbilt at 3, Ole Miss at 2 receiving one first place vote, and then Texas at number 1 receiving the rest of the first place votes with 4. There were 5 of us. Garrett did not vote.
UCF got snubbed.
Yeah, UCF did not get snubbed going 1-2 on the weekend. But either way, talking about snubs, you know, looking at our poll, guys, who did y'all think got snubbed? If anybody doesn't,
I don't think they got snubbed, but I don't know why Miami made it. I think Miami should have dropped out.
You know, in the D1 baseball poll, for comparison, they had Miami drop down to 26 or out of the poll, but they were the highest vote getter, not in the poll. And it was Gonzaga who jumped in at number 25. And to be real with you and to be real with our fans, I have not kept up with Gonzaga this week. That's why they're not in my top 25. So I'm sorry to our listeners as to why I do not have Gonzaga in the poll. If you are a Bulldog and you're upset, well, you can at me. That's fine. We'll move on.
Gonzaga also beat Oklahoma State, which is
I mean, they got a great win.
They swept Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they got it. Yeah, that Gonzaga had a great weekend. Just to be honest with you, until we looked it up, I did not know that. So that's why I didn't put them in. I'm going to be honest with you.
Speaking of great weekends, if you didn't watch the Shriners Classic, you missed out.
Yes, the Shriners Classic was fantastic. Baseball, absolutely. But talking about snubs, like I said, who do y'all have? One for me that I thought was too low is Liberty. I had them high in my poll. I believe I had them at 10 or 11. You know, beat Florida in the opening weekend of college baseball, and they've been pretty consistent ever since. I think they've only lost one or two to this point. Having them at 16 while having Florida at 9, just to be honest with you, they went on the road and beat Florida. I feel like even if they aren't in the top 10 or 11, I think they should have been ahead of Florida, which is where I had them in my poll.
The thing about Liberty, though, is their bats are just super hot right now. They have one guy, I think it's 11 games in, he has 10 home runs. Mm-hmm. I had them low because that's not sustainable.
It's not. But and to this point in the season, they have been fantastic on offense at the plate. So that's why I had them there. But you are right. That's not a sustainable pace. And we'll see later in the year how that happens. I mean, you know, you look at teams already dropping off. Long Beach State took 2 or 3 from Mississippi State, and ever since then, they have been winless. So you never know.
I've got something real quick. Where is Gonzaga at in our poll?
They are not ranked.
Okay, so where are they at in D1 baseball?
25.
They swept Cal State Fullerton. They swept Oklahoma State. The only 2 losses they had this year is to Oregon State twice. They're 9-2. That's pretty dang good.
That's fantastic.
Swept Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. At Oklahoma State and California State,
and that's
Fullerton at California State,
and that's Florida. That's Oklahoma State team that took 2 or 3 from Vanderbilt in the first weekend of the season. Yeah. So yeah, the Bulldogs definitely got slept on in our poll this week after looking at it. And that's why I'm going to be honest with our listeners. I did not know that. So you know, I'm sure if Gonzaga keeps us up, they will be ranked next week.
We need to switch the Bulldogs.
Switch the Bulldogs.
Switch the Mississippi State out.
That's a good point.
Put the other Bulldogs in there.
Which Mississippi State did drop from the top 25 of Baseball America. That stayed in D1 but dropped out of.
I think we can all agree based on what we saw this weekend, what we've been saying the first 2 weekends, or what I've been saying is I have not seen a top 10 team from them. And
no,
I don't think you can.
They're 6-6.
Yeah, I don't. Even before that, like even when coming in, I didn't necessarily believe they were top 10, you know, preseason wise.
And then, you know, now the Bulldogs, not knowing the status of Landon Sims, that puts even more question into him because Sims has obviously been pretty good this year, had the tough loss in Northern Kentucky. That was just, you know, the offense of Northern Kentucky just got hot.
Did they confirm if it was an elbow sprain or was it a UCL?
They have not said anything.
They're keeping it quiet.
Yeah.
We will not know until – I'm sure keeping it quiet for the Red – well, the Red Raiders play them in the weekday series.
I don't think they'll announce it this weekend.
Yeah, until Friday, we won't know because they won't want their opponent to know, obviously. So, if you don't see them on Friday, I would say there's cause for concern. If you do see them on Friday, even limited, I would say you're feeling all right as a Bulldog. You might get them back for SEC play, which starts next weekend.
Based on what I saw this weekend, throwing it back to the Shriners, I'm going to tell you a team, when they get hot, you're going to see them in the top 25, and that's Baylor.
Yeah, no, Baylor's looked really good this year. UCLA looked fantastic against Texas.
They're 6-5. Of their 5 losses, they were just kind of like trap games where they got caught in a midweek series and got beat.
Yeah. Their pitching is good. Their pitching is really good. Their hitting is pretty solid. I think in a conference like the Big 12, where really you have three or four good teams and everybody's kind of like mitter teams, I think they could be really
okay,
good.
I swept by Maryland to start the year.
I have a question for the group.
Series.
I was the only person to put Ole Miss at one. What Ole Miss is the best, has the best team in the best conference. Like, I was just wondering why, what's Texas got that Ole Miss?
You know, I wanted to ask you, Buzz, because you were the only voter to put Ole Miss at number one. I wanted to know what your thought process was behind. So why don't you tell us your thought process and then everybody.
Like, again, like, Ole Miss is in the best conference and they're the best team in the best conference. We have a deep pitching staff. I say we have the best bats in the country. And I just, they look like the best team in the country.
I'm going to start this because I was this close to putting Ole Miss at one. But here's my rationale. Texas has looked phenomenal pretty much all season. They had the one loss to UCLA. But besides that, looked phenomenal. Got huge wins over Tennessee and LSU this weekend in the Shriners Classic. And so my rationale coming into the weekend, because I knew Texas had these tough matchups, Ole Miss had the road test with UCF. I said, okay, if Texas loses two and Ole Miss wins the series – or Texas loses one and Ole Miss sweeps, then I'm putting the Rebels at one. However, both teams only took two of three. So I couldn't justify putting the Rebels at one and knocking Texas down when all they did was lose one game to a good UCLA squad, especially when, you know, even though, like Chuck said, the pitcher from UCF on Saturday just shoved. He just had an unbelievable outing. But it did show us that, despite the Rebels probably having the best offense in the nation, they are human. So go and scoreless in a game, even still, even though I think that's going to be an outlier at the end of the season, obviously. Just that, along with the one loss of Texas beating LSU and Tennessee, I had to leave them.
Can't go 61-1 without losing one.
I've got you're something right. on Buzz's thing. You say we're the best team in the best conference. And I agree with that. We're the best team in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas has played an SEC schedule so far. And what I mean by that is Texas has swept Alabama. They have beaten Tennessee and they've beaten LSU. So they've beaten, I guess you could
say. They are more proven against SEC competition than Ole Miss is at this point.
So, I mean, that's not really anything. I mean, that's only three teams in Alabama's. We can say the bottom tier SEC school, but they played more SEC schools. They played better schools than we have. And of course, we're two or three just goes in that game against UCF and winning that game. Two or three, like, just momentum swings to winning that game. So, I mean, it's something. I don't think you can move Texas from that one spot yet, but as we move forward, we'll see where they go. They play at South Carolina this coming weekend, Texas does. So that'll be a big point two to see where that goes from.
And I think we can come back to what we've been saying the past couple of weeks, the differences between Ole Miss. Ole Miss has the better lineup, but that pitching staff of Texas just has that more experience.
He said our pitching staff as a whole is better than it was last year. And he said not to knock Doug McKenzie and Gunnar Hoagland because they were two of the best pitchers in the nation last year. He's just saying as a whole, from the first inning to the ninth inning, our staff is night and day. And
from what I've seen, where last year we depended on two pitchers for an entire for an entire season, where now we can depend on three pitchers to go four innings and give it back to the
ball. Doherty is legit. And we're good. Is that his name? Is that how you say his name? Doherty. He's legit.
He's
Buzz got
Ole Miss did take a little blow today. I don't know if Chuck might have more information, but Kevin Graham got injured. That could be
that. Yeah, no. Kevin Graham did found out in an MRI he had a fracture in his wrist. The timetable that Ole Miss baseball released was a month. So you're going to miss him for your first three weeks of conference play. What I would assume is going to happen is Buford staying at third. He's played there, you know, half the time pretty much this year anyway. And then McCants moving to left or right, bench staying in center, and then Leatherwood or Alderman playing out in the outfield.
We're really deep.
Yeah, I think that is, of course, you know, that's a bad blow, but I think where Ole Miss is really good at this year is we have guys that can take that spot and be just as serviceable.